Good morning. The Senate Judiciary Committee meeting is called to order. Today is Saturday, May 8th, 2021. The time is 10 a.m. We're meeting in State Capitol Room number 205. Senators in attendance are Senator Keel, Senator Hughes, Senator Myers, myself, Chair Senator Holland, and tuned in via Teams, I believe, is Senator Schauer. We do have a quorum to conduct business, but we don't have any official business on the docket today. Today we're just going to take public testimony. Thank you to Nancy, our recording secretary, and Kelsey, our moderator for today. As a reminder, please silence your cell phones. So the purpose of today's hearing is to take public testimony on Senate Bill number 39 related to election integrity. Senator Schauer, I see you're out there on Teams. If you're listening in, you might have been kind of rushed yesterday to introduce your bill. Did you have any additional comments this morning?
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Just fine.
I do not have any this time. I will just comments or make your questions. They come up this morning, and we had a chance to do the full presentation, so thank you.
Thank you, Senator Schauer. I don't know that we're getting into a whole lot of discussions back and forth. We'll probably just hear public testimony. If the public testimony has a question to offer, Senator Hughes.
Yeah, I just want to mention that I hope those that testifying have looked at the most recent version. Lots of times folks testify a couple months after a bill's been introduced on the original version. So that is, if you Google Alaska State Legislature and put up in the search bar SB 39, you'll want to look for version N as in Nancy.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. All right, with that said, is there anything else from the committee? At this time, I'll open public testimony. Public testimony is now open on SB 39. First up, I'll just a brief at ease. Back on the record. We do know our 586-9085 from Anchorage is 563-9085. From looks like maybe from anywhere else, 844-586-9085. And also, if you care to just provide comments by email, it's SJUD Sierra. It's been a while. Sierra Juliet Uniform Delta at akledge.gov. Thank you. All right, first up will be Corinne Akers. Corinne, if you can hear me, please state your name, put yourself on the record. We're going to try to keep testimony. We'll start running at 2 minutes each, and I'll be pretty gracious with the time right now because it looks like even at 2 minutes we'll have plenty of time today. So, Corinne Akers, if you'd please state your name and begin your testimony.
Hello, my name is Corinne Akers, and I live in Anchorage, and I have lived here for about 43 years, came here with my husband, who was in the military. It came to my attention recently that there's a Senate bill that you are wanting to pass, and I'm not that familiar with the bill, but I am in opposition to what you are trying to do. And it appears that, from my understanding, that you want to make it more difficult for people to vote, which appears to be having many states throughout this nation. And I would think that you would want to make it easier for residents of this state and as well as other states, that the people would want to make it easier for people to vote, not more difficult. So I oppose the bill, and I trust that you will take the testimony that those of us who are opposed to the bill in accordance with what our wishes are. Thank you so much, and have a great day.
Thank you, Ms. Akers. Next up would be Eric Munch, if I'm pronouncing that correct, in Ketchikan. Eric, please state your name and put yourself on the record. Begin your testimony.
Yeah, good morning. My name is Eric Munch. I am calling from Ketchikan. I'm a long-term resident of Alaska. And my comments are these. Alaska has many challenges of local governance due to its vast geography and its many small and isolated communities, and this extends to voting as well as everything else. The goal of state government should be to make voting in local, state, and national elections as easy, accessible, and widespread as possible for all citizens. Any law, regulation, or procedure that has its as its purpose to limit or to make it more difficult, expensive, or complicated for any persons or groups or communities or regions to access the polls or to cast their legitimate votes is unconstitutional on its face. And any law, regulation, or procedure that has any of those effects, regardless of intent, is also unconstitutional unless it has been clearly shown to be necessary and essential to remedy a genuine defect or past abuse, all the while placing the least possible burden on a citizen's and community's voting opportunity. Senate Bill 39 has many of those bad effects, and it also fails to either address a need or to justify its provisions, and should be rejected by this committee and by the legislature. I oppose Senate Bill 39. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mensch. Duly noted. Next up would be Leon James. Mr. James, please state your name, put yourself on the record, and begin your testimony.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair Schauer and members of the Judiciary Committee. My name is Leon Hymas, and I'm calling in from Anchorage today to oppose SB 39. I testified at one of the previous testimonies, and there was a discussion about a fiscal note, and it looks like there now is a fiscal note, but it just says that the Division of Elections is going to defer that. I implement multi-factor authentication systems in the course of my work for hospitals and banks, and they're very difficult for many people, including, you know, some very highly educated folks, doctors and IT staff and attorneys. They all struggle with that. And so I think that applied across the broad population of the voting population of Alaska, that would be a complete disaster. And I'm also aware of a lot of the hidden costs that go into a system like that. And I think that it's alarming that there's no fiscal note that even includes a rough estimate, because I would estimate that this would be tens of millions of dollars to implement and then tens of millions of dollars to run per year. And there's no discussion about how we would pay for that as a state in a time when we're in a budget crisis. And the proposed use of a distributed ledger, I really have a problem with naming specific technologies and brands in the law, because I think that just sets it up to come back before the legislature, you know, very quickly to be revised. And we see technology companies being, you know, turned up and turned down all the time. And the distributed ledger technology itself is really a problem, or a solution to a problem that doesn't exist. And it's not actually a solution to that problem if it did exist. It's a way of distributing data as in transactions as a ledger, but not a system for protecting that data. Existing database technologies already have methods for encryption and audit trails, and we also have a lot more staff available to run database systems. Distributed ledger technology is a really, you know, specialized skill set in computer science and cryptography, and that skill set is in, you know, possibly one of the highest demands right now with the cryptocurrency boom, and it would be kind of untenable for the state to think that they would be able to secure the skill set needed to implement such a system right now. And I will end my testimony with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. James. Next up would be Michael Garvey. Mr. Garvey, please state your name and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Holland, Vice Chair Schauer, and members of the committee. For the record, I am Michael Garvey, representing the American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska. In the updated version of SB 39, we are encouraged by the inclusion of provisions allowing voters to cure their ballots, to use tribal identification cards, and to choose to receive absentee ballots by mail for future regularly scheduled state elections. These policies meet voters where they're at and help people engage in the voting process. However, we have serious concerns about other aspects of the bill. Section 54 is especially salient for the Judiciary Committee because it's an unconstitutional attempt to insulate the legislature from judicial review of elections laws in Alaska. This section would attempt to undercut the judicial branch's power and duty to interpret laws to ensure they do not violate constitutional guarantees. It seeks to give the legislature the final say in how Alaska conducts elections and would allow the legislature to pass laws that restrict Alaskans' voting rights without consequence. We're also concerned that the technological requirements in SB 39 present risks for data security, disenfranchisement, and cost. Distributed ledger technology is premised on the idea that more people being involved in data maintenance increases the accuracy of data. However, this approach inherently presents significant privacy, confidentiality, and data security concerns that are not addressed by SB 39. More entry points into a data system creates more opportunity for compromise. The bill does not specify whether or not the network would be public, and it does not describe what election data would be covered specifically. These are important details. Requiring that voters use digital multi-factor authentication presents similar concerns. For instance, if the state uses a system that sends confirmation codes to voters by text message, it will create a huge security risk because text messages are not encrypted and susceptible to hacking. This system would also create a vast new data set for the state to keep secure while simultaneously ensuring that those processing ballots can access it. Moreover, voters may not have the technology or internet access needed to use the technology or have language assistance needs that the system cannot meet. While the bill would create an exemption for those unable to use digital multi-factor authentication, it does not specify how that determination would be made, when, or by whom. New technology may help Alaska administer elections, but the state should ensure that these systems will work, are secure, and are affordable, and do not inhibit Alaskans' voting rights before requiring them through statute. Finally, we're concerned about the additional rules and requirements this bill would put before Alaskans, notably those voting by absentee. And SB 39 both creates new election crimes and increases penalties for existing crimes, including making it harder for a person to help elders or disabled voters in their communities to vote. We know there's room for improvement in our election system, but numerous provisions of this bill are based on an inaccurate diagnosis of problems that need to be solved. We believe that improvements in our election system should maximize civic engagement and help Alaskans exercise their right to vote, rather than make voting unnecessarily complicated, stringent, and costly. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you, Mr. Garvey. Next up would be Robert Welton. Mr. Welton, please state your name and begin your testimony.
My name is Robert Welton. I live in Douglas, Alaska. And first off, I just wanted to thank you all for taking the time to hear my comments. And I apologize if I'm not reading the right version of the bill. I looked at SB 39B, CSSB 39STA, and so I didn't try and wade through all other amendments and documents. But broadly speaking, I think the intent of the bill is admirable to increase security of our elections, but I have four main concerns I wanted to address to the committee. First off, I noticed that absentee ballots can be the period when you can request it is changing from 10 days prior to an election to 14 days prior to an election. So we're making putting that timeline out a little bit on getting an absentee ballot request. When you turn one in, the timeline is changing from receipt 10 days after an election to receipt 7 days after an election. And this is not a security impact. So I think it shouldn't be included in the bill. When you look down in another section, I didn't write the section down, the new reasons for contesting elections were added, that if there's a data breach of security identifiers or if there's a ballot accounting irregularities sufficient to change the outcome, you can contest an election. But those terms aren't defined, and to me it opens up Pandora's box on challenging any election you don't like. The third area I was concerned about was it appears, if I'm reading it right, that this bill would outlaw election by mail for localities over 3,000 people unless there's a disaster declaration, which I think is a bad idea. The last thing, I mentioned this before in earlier testimony, it appears this bill is criminalizing helping your elderly neighbor lady vote. If you read on down through it in section 48A8, it says that you're committing some kind of election crime unless, if you help someone vote, unless the person requests it, A. The second section says, B, that you, if you solicit somebody to help get their vote in, you're committing a crime, and there's a C reason. So my suggestion on this is strike the second contention out there. If I ask the neighbor lady if she wants me to take her vote to the post office, it shouldn't be a crime. The other two, fine. I understand not wanting to have ballot harvesting. But criminalizing me helping my neighbor lady by soliciting to help deliver her ballot seems a little bit excessive. So these 4 points, I would just kind of suggest that perhaps these things be stricken or amended before this passes out of committee. And I don't know if the process well enough, but if this has to go to the full floor and be amended later, you guys know that more than me. But once again, thank you for taking the time to hear what I have to say and for serving the state.
Thank you, Mr. Welton. You raise a couple of good points there. We do have Senator Schauer standing by. I don't know if Senator Schauer wants to offer any comment on
I do.
Senator Schauer, please proceed.
Thanks, Senator Holland. Pretty quick. Regarding the ballot hearing, the 14 days and 7 days the gentleman mentioned, those were moved based on what Colorado does with its mail-in voting. And it was to give us the timeline required to allow people to have their votes cured or their ballots cured. So if we don't move the timelines, it wouldn't work. That's the reason we did that, which quite honestly is a bigger concern of those on the left side of the political spectrum. So we've added that to the bill. So that's why those 14 and 7 days changed. The other part is you can already challenge an election result. So I'm not really sure what he meant on that one. We don't put local control restrictions. That's a myth that continues to persist with this bill. Local communities can control their elections. We tried to give them options based on just using state data. So that's still there. And the harvesting part, I hear what he's saying. However, when we debated this, if you don't stop people from soliciting someone's ballot unless they're a family member or a caregiver, you open yourself right back up to professional ballot harvesting. We don't see a way around it. So I hear what he's saying. We try to get away from numbers so that anybody could help if they're a family or caregiver, but you have to keep people from soliciting or you have ballot harvesters and professionals. I don't see a way around it. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Senator Schauer. Any other comment from the committee? Seeing none, next up would be Jamie Rodriguez. If you please state your name, put yourself on the record, and begin your 2 minutes of testimony.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, my name is Jamie Rodriguez. I'm from Anchorage and representing myself and my family. My family's been in Alaska since 1974. Over the years, we've witnessed the growth of a fair, accessible, inclusive, and secure voting system that ensures every Alaskan will have the opportunity to exercise their right to vote, no matter their location, physical ability to get out, work schedules, etc. Is there work to be done still? Yes. But the focus needs to be more on rural Alaska to improve access to voting and broadband. We have that opportunity with the proposed national infrastructure bill, and I hope our state will take advantage of that. In the meantime, no one is abusing our sacred right to vote as it stands today. It's working pretty smoothly. On its face, this bill continues to feel like an attempt to disenfranchise Alaskan voters. It would waste millions of dollars, potentially divert money and contracts to special interests, and make it more difficult for our elders, rural and low-income residents, and many other groups to cast their votes. SB 39 also continues to propagate the false narrative that widespread voter fraud exists when it does not. Let's pay attention to the elephant in the room. The 2020 elections were well-run, secure, and accurate thanks to the Alaska Division of Elections, as usual, and during a pandemic, no less. They made it easy for everyone to vote in spite of the challenges. The old adage that if there isn't a problem, don't fix it applies here. Our elections work. Any changes made to the process should be for the sole purpose of helping Alaskans cast their votes, even more safely and without harassment, not to make it more difficult or for partisan gain. The chaos that's involved in both national and state politics right now just feeds into the lie that it's threatening our democracy and very way of life. Please don't politicize the act of voting. Don't even use the terms left and right. If there's no bad intent here, instead of running two competing bills, why not gather with the sponsors of HB 66 and work with them to craft one fair and honest bill that reflects all Alaskans' rights to vote? That would be an honorable and a much appreciated act by our state legislators. Thank you for listening to me today, and thanks for your work.
Thank you, Ms. Rodriguez. I'll also bring Senator Shire back up for that, because I do believe that that is the current thought on this, is to have the sponsors of SB 39 and HB 66 try to find common ground to move forward on. Senator Shire, can you speak?
I do. Yep. Thank you, Senator Hohn. I appreciate that. If you can hear me, that is exactly the case. We have been working for some time with the representative from the House on HB 66 to try to find a joint solution that would work for all sides of the aisle. People can say, don't say left or right, but that's exactly what much of this is, because there's people on both sides of the aisle that have lost faith in the system. People claim that they don't, but we have clear evidence that they do. But we are working directly with the sponsor to try to find a compromise solution that would work for as many people as possible. We all know that in politics, you don't always get what you want. And that grand compromise in the middle, where everybody's a little bit upset but a little happy, is probably the best we're going to do. And we are attempting to do just that. The other thing I wanted to say to that is that we are not relitigating the 2020 election. This myth just won't die. We have been working on this bill, and I don't know why people won't listen to that, for 3 years, and started this effort when the left was still upset about Trump being elected. So this is a multi-year effort, and it has nothing to do with 2020, and it has little to nothing to do with fraud. We've never made that contention. As I said yesterday, this is about our voter rolls. This is about protecting our data and a few other key points. So I just want to make that clear, Senator Holland, that I think we're going to get some more of that today, because these myths continue to be propagated. So we're going to hear these repeating things that you're getting from big organizations that are spreading this through their member groups, but they're simply not true. And I guess we'll have to keep saying it, but I appreciate you giving me a chance now and then to correct the record on some of these, because we're probably going to hear a little bit more of that today. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Shower. Next up would be Mary Borthwick. Ms. Borthwick, if you can hear me, please state your name and begin your 2 minutes of testimony.
Thank you. I am Mary Borthwick. I live in Juneau. I have lived here, I would guess, longer than many of you have been alive. I have several concerns. I won't be able to give you the details that some of the preceding people did, but I will just mention for you a few of my concerns. One, I am concerned for helping people vote, seniors and the disabled, with a felony. If some well-meaning person offers to help and then is charged with a felony, that alarms me. So I am concerned about that making people disinclined to help. Number two, the shortening of the application time. I heard Senator Shower's reasoning for that. My concern is that what used to take 5 days for a letter to arrive in the last year has now extended to 12 days. And so I'm afraid that with our current mail system with the U.S. Post Office, that will mean that either the absentee ballot doesn't arrive in time in the application, or that it doesn't arrive back at the with division of elections in time to be counted. Third, the digital multi-factor authentication security identifiers. Apparently extremely complicated way of identifying a voter. And what concerned me about it is it says so often if a person is unable to use it. And my thought is, who determines whether the person is unable to use it? Can they just say, I don't get this, can I do it some other way? Or will there be a process which is clearly defined? I'm very concerned about how complicated that seems. Number four, the distributed ledger technology concerns me. It sounds like one more way that we can be monitored, and the technology companies, and I'm just very, very concerned about, and about that. I did hear a previous person say that the named technology companies were named, and I think that's a risk. I'm very concerned about that electronic monitoring. And last, just an aside, it says that the voting machines have to be made in the U.S., and I am hoping that there are enough of good quality that are available that are made completely, it says, in the U.S. Does that mean no parts from China, no computer chip? Da, da, da? I'm very curious about how strictly that will be enforced. Those are my key points, and I thank you very much for listening to me.
Thank you, Ms. Borthwick. Next up would be Sue Sheriff. Sue Sheriff, if you can hear me, please state your name and begin your 2 minutes.
Hello, my name is Sue Sheriff, and I'm testifying from Fairbanks. And although the security of elections is and should be a goal that we all share, the latest version, which I did see online, of SB 39 is an overkill solution to a problem that seems to be more a question of random and rare inadvertent errors rather than widespread fraud or malicious tampering with our precious Alaska elections. And I agree with many of the previous testifiers about some of the weaknesses of the bill. I applaud Senator Showers for being concerned about the situation and for working with the House on a compromise bill. But I have submitted written testimony, and my two main points today are that my concern about the digital multi-factor authentication, and I think I'll skip over that to add something that I didn't put in my written testimony. I'm a 74-year-old single person living with no family members, and I do not have mail delivery or pickup at my house. And I also have an immune system compromised, so I've been very isolated in our pandemic situation, and the idea that I could not ask a neighbor to take my mail-in ballot, my absentee ballot, to the post office without asking them to be criminally liable is shocking to me, and I think it's not imagining the various situations that Alaskans live in that might make this a very dangerous precedent. My other main concern is the use of blockchain technology. I think it's inappropriate for the legislature, a body of very dedicated public services, but not a group of trained technology experts, to name specific digital systems and statute. Will they be reviewing the statute annually to make sure that the systems are working and accomplish what the drafters hope they will? And will they be checking to see whether those systems have been superseded by the next technological protocol? Second, this technology, as Mr. James from Anchorage, I believe, testified, is not cheap. And as there is no fiscal note on the bill now, the legislated use of this specific technology at a time when our state budget is under such stress is fiscally irresponsible. And then third, the people who actually are IT experts do not necessarily endorse the use of blockchain-type systems for elections. For example, the National Academy of Science put out a study in 2018 that says, while the notion of using a blockchain as an immutable ballot box may seem promising, blockchain technology does little to solve the fundamental security issues of elections. And indeed, blockchains introduce additional security vulnerabilities. A man, Robert Rivas, a cryptographer and senior professor at MIT who studied voting technology extensively, says people may think that using more technology is a good thing, and that we get more benefits and more security from technology. But in fact, he writes, it tends to work the opposite way. More technology typically means more complexity, and more complexity means less security. And I have, in my written testimony, supplied links to those studies and also a couple of others for your reading enjoyment to find out more about blockchain technology. And they will also explain why blockchain may be appropriate technology for Bitcoin and other digital currencies, but not for elections. So I hope that the legislature will look at the people who really know these technologies from the inside out and reconsider the inclusion of that specific technology as a solution to election problems that don't appear to be widespread, and as I said earlier, seem to be more inadvertent and human error than malicious or criminal. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Ms. Sheriff. Appreciate
Senator Mullen.
Appreciate your input. I was going to offer, Senator Shower, that blockchain has been removed from the bill. I let the last speaker go for 5 minutes, and I just wanted to assure people that we still have a few more to address, and blockchain is no longer in the bill. But Senator Shower, if you could keep your comments short, if you just had anything different to state.
I will do that, sir. Thank you. I'll make it quick, and I'll talk fast. One, we're already digital. We're already getting hacked, and that's people seem to have forgotten. We have been hacked multiple times every year running now, and the court system was just hacked. So your life is already digital. We're already being hacked. One of the goals of the bill is to try to prevent that from happening, and there's a lot of resistance, which is I'm fascinated by, because we're already there, and we need to make it better. There's a misconception about the ballot harvesting. You can ask somebody. The point is they can't solicit. That's how we're trying to prevent professional ballot harvesters. There has to be a provision for that, and we'll continue to look at it, see if we can make it tighter. But right now, what she said was incorrect. She can ask somebody to do it. They can't come solicit her. That's the issue. And just to be clear, as you said, thank you for that, Senator Holland, we are not suggesting a certain technology. We had a couple of folks brief us. None of us are the experts. We rely on the experts. We would rely on the Division of Election to come up with the regulations to promulgate this to make it work. We simply suggest different ideas. We're not requiring or demanding anything. We're asking them to get into the 21st century with best practices. It's merely that simple. That's why we removed some of this language, and trying to get them to move in that direction is just that simple. So thank you very much.
Anything else from the committee? Seeing none. Next up would be Sandra Murray. Ms. Murray, if you'd please state your name and begin your 2 minutes of testimony.
Hello, my name is Sandra Murray. I am a resident of Anchorage. I oppose Senate Bill 39 because, one, it criminalizes community members and punishes for picking up absentee ballots for neighbors and friends and bringing them to the post office or placing in a drop box. Two, it places undue burden on voters with the digital authentication verification when no voter fraud has been found. Lastly, it prohibits the Department of Elections from counting early ballots until 7 days before Election Day. Our current elections work. This Senate bill, the Senate Bill 39, should be rejected. And thank you for hearing me.
Thank you, Ms. Murray. Next up would be Felisa Wilson. If you would please state your name and begin your 2 minutes.
Hello, my name is Felisa Wilson. I'm a resident of Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. I have been in Alaska since 2015. I'm a physician. I just retired as a major from the U.S. Air Force, and I currently still live on base. I also have had the pleasure of working as an election official in the 2020 elections, so I've seen firsthand how the operation works and how the technology works that was new for this year. I'm in opposition to Senate Bill 39 for several reasons, which many have been reiterated previously by previous callers. One item for me is in Section 41, states that 60 days after certification of the results, the director shall provide a voter whose ballot is rejected under the section a reasonable opportunity until 5 p.m. on the third day after election to cure their rejected ballot. However, if it's 60 days past the certification of the result, I submit that this is a moot point under Section 41 because it's already past the deadline. It does not meet the intent for curing a ballot within 3 days. Secondly, I have a big issue with Section 45 that says the director may conduct an election by mail in all of these smaller or rural areas, it appears to me that given the situation with the Postal Service, where even in Anchorage, when I mail something, it takes 12 days to arrive. If you limit to only by mail elections in rural areas, then their ballots would surely arrive after the time hack for absentee ballots to be counted and certified. I believe that this hurts our rural communities. I believe this hurts our Alaska Native communities. And I believe this hurts people who may be expatriates outside of the country, but especially for our elderly and our rural residents, I believe this is in direct contradiction to opening up our elections so that to make it easier for them to vote. Secondly, in Section 46, the senator stated that blockchain had been eliminated from the bill. I'm reading the newest version, and blockchain is still listed as a named technology that can be used in Section 46 and in several other sections of the bill. I believe that blockchain and the digital multi-factor authentication is prohibitive for many and most Alaskans, whether they be low income and they don't have access to certain technologies or even cell phones, or whether they just be technologically challenged and compromised. Having just left the military after 24 years of service, we extensively use security measures, and digital security measures, and layers of security systems. And this is not something that the layperson would be adept at using, and I think that it is prohibitive. And this is an election system. We want people to have an easier time of voting. Secondly, in Section 48, I object to the fact that it is a crime to solicit in the fact that you ask your neighbor, can I take your ballot with you? Many of the churches and many of the community groups go around and tell them, hey, I can pick up your ballot, I can drop it off at the post office. I believe the intent of Section 48 and Section 7 originally is that someone who knowingly submits or encourages to assist another person to submit an absentee ballot application, because they could control or delay the submission of the application, or they could gather data from the application. Section 8 that you have added to Section 48 really just oppresses people from asking their church members, their neighbors, their community members. This does not speak to the idea of ballot harvesting, because the idea of ballot harvesting speaks to the point of someone being able to delay submission of the ballot and gather data from it, which your neighbors and your church members and your community members are not interested in. They're just interested in helping you get your ballot to the box or in the right place to be conducted. Thank you for your time, and I believe I've gone over time, but I really would urge that you take our testimony into consideration, because this really feels like an oppressive bill. It feels like there's an undue burden on the public, and again, an undue burden on the staff of the Department of Elections, again, and a fiscal undue burden in executing this. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wilson. I will remind callers, we're trying to keep it down to 2 minutes. We've gone 5 minutes on two of the last three callers. I don't want to cut off public testimony on this issue, but if y'all could be a little self-regulating, it'd be appreciative. We still got a lot of people left to hear. But next up would be Shelley Gooden in Anchorage. Shelley Gooden, if you please state your name and begin your public testimony.
Hi, my name is Shelley Gooden, and I am a resident of Anchorage, and I do oppose HB 39. We have a great bill in HB 66 that covers all the bases. This bill is oppressive. It is punitive. We are not considering the diversity of the Alaska that we represent, in that we have a huge group of Indigenous that may not have equal access to internet. And again, mail service has come up repeatedly in this testimony. We know here in Anchorage, we are looking at 12 days for mail. We know what that looks like in the interior. And this is deliberately appearing to me, it seems to be a deliberate attempt to take those ballots and completely remove them from play in any vote, any election that we have. This cannot stand. We have a system here for ballot care that has been proficient. We are now saying that we're going to be modeling after Colorado. I was a longtime resident of Colorado. We don't have an interior like we do here in Alaska. There's no need for us to model, and we're talking about this is a necessary issue because of our ballot harvesting. I have never read of an issue of ballot harvesting here in Alaska, and I would trust the senator to demonstrate that. Now, we're talking about how people are suspicious of this bill. There's a lot of things going on with people hearing rumors. I have worked in looking at legislation for many, many moons, and I have had a heck of a time trying to find the amendments to this bill and where they have been changed. I had less than an hour of notice this morning that this meeting was even happening. I find that to be greatly questionable. So you give us the feeling that this is being done in a way that supports the integrity of this state and that is being done in a way that considers our modest means families, our modest means individuals, our seniors, and those like me that are medically challenged who don't have access to walking into same-day voting or walking in to fix a ballot within those three-day time periods. We need things that consider the full scope and sequence of the Alaskans that you are there to represent. This bill does not do that. This bill is highly suspect to me, and the way that it's been handled is even more so. So thank you for your time.
Ms. Gooden, I appreciate your thoughts. I just want to say, as chair of this committee, we advertised today's public testimony starting on April 30th, which was over a week ago, and I do. It's on a Saturday because we want to make it available to people who want to not take time off work to speak on the issue. And the other thing is, honestly, we only have, I believe, 4 more meetings till the end of the session. And SB 39 is not even on the schedule for this next week in Judiciary Committee. This is just purely an opportunity to give the public a chance to speak on SB 39 with no ulterior motives at all. But I apologize if you only found out about it an hour ago. Sorry about that.
Senator Mullen, a brief comment.
I'm sorry, Senator Schauer.
Yes, sir. In response to her statement that she has never seen ballot harvesting, that's absolutely untrue, and I can give you one example. She wanted one. I'll give it to her. My staffer, my chief of staff, Terrence, who is a Alaska native, was paid by the Tony Knowles campaign and trained by his campaign with 250 other people to be a ballot harvester. I can give you a perfect example of him sitting right there in the room with you, and there's many more, so I just wanted to counter with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Schauer, but it is about public testimony today. Next up would be Corey DeVries. Corey DeVries, if you please state your name and provide your public testimony.
Hi, my name is Corey DeVries. I live up near Palmer, Alaska. I am not a lifelong Alaskan. My husband and I were Air Force. He was raised here, though, and I married into a family that is involved in state and local politics and kind of was forced to become aware and involved in all of the things going on. And I am calling in favor of this bill. I do see issues in the integrity of our state elections, and I am thankful that we have people who are working to address them. So I have heard of instances of ballot harvesting, and I am really, really excited to see that being addressed in this bill. I don't see it at all as a bill that disenfranchises voters. I see it as ensuring that every vote is counted and that those that should not be counted are not counted, because there have been issues with that as well. I don't think that it keeps people from voting. I think it keeps people from cheating. I love that there's an opportunity for people to cure their vote if there's been an issue and not just have it thrown out. So I don't have a whole lot to say. I've got a lot of kiddos, and I've got to get back to them and had to wait a while to speak. But I just thank you that you're working to address election integrity in Alaska, and I am in support of SB 39. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rees. Next up would be Morgan Lim. Morgan Lim, if you'd please state your name and begin your 2 minutes.
Thank you, Chair Holland and members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. For the record, my name is Morgan Lim. I'm a Juneau resident, and I'm speaking today on behalf of Planned Parenthood Alliance Advocates Alaska. PPAA opposes SB 39, a voter suppression bill imposing a web of barriers on access to the polls. While SB 39 claims to be combating so-called election fraud in Alaska, this baseless and unsupported claim is the foundation of a bill in search of a problem that will ultimately result in voters becoming disenfranchised. PPAA supports policies that make it easier for all eligible voters to securely register to vote and cast a ballot. Unfortunately, the United States and Alaska have not lived up to the promise of equal access at the ballot box, with Black, Indigenous, and people of color communities more likely to face myriad barriers to voting. Alaska, like jurisdictions across the country, is plagued with inadequate polling places and increasingly limited voting hours and options. Disenfranchisement of formerly incarcerated individuals and systematic efforts to suppress the vote in our communities. SB 39 is part of a nationwide voter suppression trend, as too many politicians try to manipulate the outcome of elections by making it harder for people to cast a ballot. In the first 3 months of 2021 alone, over 361 voter suppression bills have been introduced in 47 states. While proponents of this bill claim this committee substitute is a more reasonable version of their previous voter suppression bill, the current version has the same goal: suppress a person's ability to cast a vote by imposing a cascade of barriers on voting. While each limitation in SB 39 on its own may not seem as extreme as the previous draft, taken together, these provisions create a web of barriers limiting our ability to vote. We hope this committee will take steps to ensure all eligible people in Alaska can register to vote so that they can be fully represented in our democracy. We thank you for the opportunity to comment on SB 39, and we urge you not to move this bill forward. Thank you.
Mr. Lim, thank you for your comments, and right at 2 minutes. I appreciate that. Diane Darnall, if I'm pronouncing that right. Diane Darnall, if you can hear me, please state your name and begin your testimony.
Hi, my name is Diane Darnall. I live in Fairbanks, and I have been in Alaska in Fairbanks since 1974. So what concerns me about this bill is a lot of concerns. I listened to the other callers, and I agree with them that this needs a lot of work if you want to move it forward. But I think it's wasting our time and money, state resources, to put this forward as it is currently. And my main concerns, well, it seems like the last version I looked at did have the words blockchain, hashcraft, DAG, holochain, et cetera, in there, and that seems problematic. And it seems expensive. And I looked at your expenses, how much it's going to cost all this, and it wasn't going to cost anything. But all of this looks like that's a lot of money it's going to cost. So I'm concerned about that and the unknown costs and not making that clear. And also, I'm also concerned about the ballots, mail-in ballots. They're shortening the time that mail-in ballots can be received. I think we need to even lengthen that time if you're going to change that, because we have a mail problem now. Sometimes the mail in certain places in Alaska gets stuck in a building because there's not enough staff to move it forward. That's why our mail's taking so long to get places, and you know, it's just in a bag somewhere, and it just takes longer than expected, and because monies were shortened for staff. The other concern I have is trying to make it criminal to somebody to ask a neighbor to take their ballot. I'm concerned about the elderly and people who have disabilities not being able to get their voice, their voting voice out there. So I think that's important to consider. And make it as easy as possible for people to vote. I don't think we've had a significant problem in our state thus far. To try to make it harder for people to vote is just not the right time right now. I don't think we ever need to make it harder to vote. It's a privilege. And I really want to thank the committee for taking a Saturday and allowing people to call in on a Saturday. And thank you for listening.
Thank you, Ms. Darnall. Next up would be Bert Huftowling. Mr. Huftowling, if you can hear me, please state your name and begin your 2 minutes of testimony.
Hi, my name is Bert Huftowling. I'm from Big Lake, Alaska. I represent myself and about almost 4,000 of Alaskans that follow what I have to say. We are in full support of this. We have watched the results of what ballot harvesting has done over the years and really do need to have something help clean up our election process. As for the voter fraud that people say doesn't exist, why do we have ex-representative Gabrielle LeDuc under federal and state charges if our elections are so fraud-free? ballot harvesting has become very apparent here in the state of Alaska, especially when you look at, say, Lisa Murkowski's race, where she was a write-in candidate. The only way that could have happened was is by teams of people going out there and collecting people's ballots and their signatures on pre-filled out ballots, which has been greatly and completely verified that this is what occurred. We saw a good example of this also last year with Al Gross's campaign and Elise Galvin's campaign, where they had people flown in from out of state going around door-to-door ballot harvesting in our state. I am 100% for anything that supports making sure our elections are more safe and secure. I am also here currently at a meeting with a room full of people, and each person here would like to also give their 2 minutes of testimony if that would be allowed. Here is Mike Coons, and he would like the first speaker up.
I'm sorry, Bert. We won't be able to do that. Everybody has to get in line to call in. We have at least a dozen people ahead of you in line. I appreciate your interest, but if y'all call in, you get put right back in the queue. Next up would be Patricia Dooley. Ms. Dooley, if you can hear me, please state your name and begin your 2 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Pat Dooley. I'm calling from Anchorage, Alaska. I've been in Alaska since 1984. I just want to say I'm actually a super voter. I always vote no matter what. I'm educated, well-informed. I have a car, and I have time and resources, and I'm pretty tech-savvy. I find a lot of the pieces of this bill to be barriers that are being created to make it hard to vote, and I felt very discouraged looking at it. How I can vote and how I can make sure my vote is actually counting because I did it correctly. And absentee ballots, I have voted absentee ballots in the past. It hasn't been an issue. I feel like the multifactorial ID is a barrier. It might make, I don't know that it's going to make voting more secure. I don't know if blockchain is still in the bill or not. But I would say that it's, as other people have said, it's expensive, it's complicated. I have real security concerns about my information being inadvertently or intentionally shared through that system. I like vote by mail. Anchorage does do vote by mail. It's done it for a couple of municipal elections. It's fast, it's easy, it is secure. We do have Dominion voting machines. Those work very, very well. They are secure, and I'm not sure we want to make another investment in something else at this point. The positives, there's a clear provision for ballot curing. I think that's great. I'm suggesting you put something in there with a clear definition of ballot harvesting, since several people have mentioned ballot harvesting, and I'm having a feeling that that's a term that's getting thrown around a bit loosely. Like the absentee ballot registering for 4 years, I'm thinking that would be sort of a known traveler process similar to the TSA. That would be lovely. And I would just say we have a system that works. There's no evidence of widespread fraud despite things that might be out there on the internet. We have processes to ensure that it is reliable and secure. We have laws that take care of people who are doing things that are illegal, such as ballot harvesting. That's why Gabriel Ledoux is being prosecuted. So that's really all I do have to say. I'm really sorry that we're spending so much time on this when we have so many other things that the state needs to focus on. But thanks for letting me put my 20 cents in. Thanks.
Thank you, Patricia Dooley. Next up would be Becky Stoppa. Becky Stoppa, please state your name and begin your 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Becky Stoppa, and I'm calling from Wasilla, and I appreciate you taking the time this morning to hear my testimony. Like other callers, I have some concerns about the multi-factor authentication. To vote, I believe that it's not very, the process is not very well defined. There's no fiscal note attached to it, so I worry about that. I do appreciate the fact that you've allowed for the ballot curing, giving people a chance to go back and fix their ballot. I have concerns about the witness provisions in Section 30. Together, I believe that the multi-factor authentication and the witnessing places an undue burden on particularly among seniors, people with disabilities, and people in rural communities that might not have the broadband access. I think that the bill as written makes it more difficult for people to vote rather than easier, and I believe the process should be as easy and straightforward as possible. And like others have said, I believe it's a solution in search of a problem. I appreciate your time. I'll keep my comments brief. Appreciate your time, and I urge you to not move this forward as written today. Thank you.
Thank you, Becky Stopa. Next up would be Tom Booten or Tom Boutine. Mr. Booten, please state your name and put yourself on the record and begin your 2 minutes.
Yeah, thank you. Tom Boutin, Juneau here. I do support Senate Bill 39. What happened in House District 40 election there a few years ago was alarming to me, and more alarming is, so far as I know, there's been no response from any branch of government, except for legislation pending now, to make sure it can't happen again. And the Representative Ledoux situation, of course, other people have mentioned. I think that Senate Bill 39 addresses that to the extent that attorneys think it's allowed by the federal government at this time. I hope it's enough. I think that mailing ballots willy-nilly to a very old list of voters invites mischief, and I have some personal observations about that. And I don't mind a slight effort on my part being required for me to register to vote and to prove I'm a legal voter. I hope this bill is part of the session closeout, so problems with the last elections are fixed and integrity is restored. So thank you very much. Thanks for having this hearing on a Saturday. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Boutine. Next up would be Mary Elizabeth Carhan-Stark. Ms. Carhan-Stark, please state your name and begin your 2 minutes.
Hi. My name is Mary Carhan-Stark. I'm calling from the Goldstream Valley in Fairbanks, Alaska. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and other members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. I'm calling in opposition to Senate Bill 39 because it makes it more complicated, more difficult for others and myself to vote. I think the two-factor authentication is extremely complicated. I've used it before, but, it doesn't need to be there. And also, not allowing a friend or neighbor to help in the voting process is ridiculous. It's shameful, to consider that. We're honest people here. We're trying to get good leaders, and to create this issue, to create these problems, is just another stumbling block. The truth is, more people voted in this last election than any other time. And to say that this bill is not in reaction to what is going on around the country is, simply not true. It's impossible. Also here in Alaska, besides the Ledoux issue, there have been no signs of malicious tampering. So why support this 39? No reason at all. I reject 39 since it's written not to secure our right to cast our vote, but to make it harder, more complicated, and undue burden to all others that maybe need our assistance. So respectfully, I thank you for taking my call, and I thank you all for your work.
Thank you, Ms. Carhan-Stark. I'll just tell the people waiting online to I see we lost one or two in the last bit of time. I think people thought we were going to stop at 11 o'clock. I'd encourage people to hang on. We're going to run to the bottom of this list. Mr. Gordon DeVries. Mr. DeVries, if you please state your name and put yourself on the record and begin your 2 minutes.
Hello, my name is DeVries from Palmer, Alaska. Thank you for taking this time to listen from the citizens. We need to have confidence in our election system. We don't have it. This fall, thousands of citizens' information was hacked, and that information that was compromised was enough to cast votes. We live in a time when many people want in-person, absentee, and ballots by mail. Currently, Alaska doesn't have the ability to do this in a manner that gives all Alaskans confidence in our election system. Alaska's voter rolls are a mess, and that's not even a debatable fact. From what I can see in SB 39, this is a broad-based approach to leverage technology to make voting secure while increasing access. We live in a computer age where we are using computers and data entry at the core of our voting system. I wish it wasn't so. I wish I could just go and cast my ballot at the box, and everybody did that and was counted by a person, but that train has left the station. Technology is how we do elections, so it is incumbent upon us to make our elections above reproach and question. I'm against ballot harvesting. Bipartisan federal election commissions have highlighted this as a major factor in undermining voter confidence. Look no further than California to see what a mess ballot harvesting has cost that state. Voting should be accessible to all qualified citizens, but that does not mean we need to tolerate a system that is sloppy and that's not secure. So for those reasons, I support SB 39. I know other people have brought up the idea of costs, and cost is a concern to me. There's cost to everything we do in Alaska, and that's a concern. We spend more money per person than any other state by a factor of two. But if our state can spend money for a girl in Kotzebue to get an abortion, it can spend money on an election integrity to make sure that our citizens have confidence in the system. So thank you for taking this time to listen to the citizens.
Thank you, Mr. DeVries. Next up would be Tony Callis or Tony Calise. Please state your name, put yourself on the record, and begin your 2 minutes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Well, good. My name is Tony Callis. Anchorage is our southern retirement from Barrow, now with Piagovic, where I taught for 9 years at Illisavik Tribal College. I want to thank the committee and Chairman Holland for hearing us and doing it on a Saturday. That's appreciated. I want to take a historical approach based on my 50-plus years of life work on issues between Native and non-Native communities. Right now, a particular political party in the lower 48 and a lot of states are introducing legislation whose basic goal is to restrict and make it more difficult for the people they don't like to vote. Unfortunately, Senate Bill 39 falls right in along with this, no matter when it originated. I wish, really, you know, bills like this are truly anti-democratic. They're undemocratic. I wish I could say they're un-American, but they're not from the point of view of history. We have a fine history of restricting voting to the people who we like and the one eliminating the ones we don't. After all, we began with a vote restricted to white men of property, and then gradually all white men, but no women for almost 150 years. Black men got it after slavery, and then black women, but then you had the states who were passing extensive legislation to block black voting, and when that didn't work, using state-sponsored violence. At the same time, we have legislation that prevented American Indians in a number of states from voting in state elections until as late as the 1960s. And in fact, right here in Alaska, when William Paul, well-known Tlingit lawyer, first Alaska Native elected to the territorial legislature, there were proposals to introduce literacy tests to try and prevent Native voting. We just simply don't need this. It's not a tradition we want to continue. On the other hand, we also have a fine tradition in America of trying to expand the voting rights. And that includes a lot more than I can get into now, but it does include here in Alaska having automatic registration with the PFD. It includes having election materials available in Native languages and so on. And it is good in this bill to have a tribal ID card being valid, but it doesn't take this piece of legislation to do that. So all in all, my feeling is that we should go for as much as we can do to make election voting accessible and easy to do. I will just say, to keep it short, that I agree with the points that were made about blockchain verification and also the digital multi-factor authentication, which makes it much more difficult for ordinary people to vote. So once again, I thank you. Let's go along with the best of American traditions, not the worst. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kalis. Next up would be Joan Diamond. Joan Diamond, if you can hear me, please state your name and begin your 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Joan Diamond. I live in Anchorage in Rabbit Creek. I have been here 50 years, and I am against Senate Bill 39. I don't want to take time because I agree with many of the comments that have been already made. I want voting to be more accessible and easier for Alaskans. And I hope that recognizing our Division of Elections has done a great job. And I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Joan Diamond. Next up would be Nikki Isomom. Have I got that right? Nikki Isomom, please state your name and begin your 2 minutes.
Yeah, and I'm going to get off of speakerphone. Hi, my name's Nikki Eisman, and I am yet another voice standing in opposition to SB 39 for so many of the same reasons other people have said before me. Just for my Alaska creds, I've been a resident for 45 years. I'm a super voter, and for the past 5 years have been an election official, sometimes two elections a year, depending if we have municipal elections or not. I also volunteer with people who are incarcerated, and I'll get back to that connection in a minute. As a state, generally speaking, as a nation, we already have low voter turnout, particularly in municipal elections, which are the most important in many ways. We should be looking for ways to increase voter turnout, not decrease it. Our real concerns should be about voter disenfranchisement, not in looking for problems that don't exist. People are throwing around the term ballot harvesting. It's really broad. A previous speaker said she, was worried that a friend wouldn't be able to come and pick up her ballot, and the sponsor of the bill said, oh, no, that wasn't the intent. But the language is such that you do think that you might face a Class A misdemeanor if you go get your neighbor's ballot, because that's what the language implies. And to threaten somebody with any jail time for helping someone vote just seems so wrong. And I mentioned that I volunteer with people who are incarcerated, and to spend even a day or two in jail, to not be able to make bail, can affect your life in so many ways. I know that's not the focus of this bill, but I think that is particularly horrific to me, that somebody is going to say, well, I mean, I would come get your ballot, but I've been hearing that I can go to jail if I do. Again, I feel the intent of this measure is voter suppression. So please, let's not give it any more airtime. Let's not move it forward. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your comments. Next up would be Evan Anderson. Evan Anderson, please state your name, put yourself on the record, and begin your 2 minutes. Mr. Anderson, can you hear me? Are you muted, maybe?
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. Thanks, Chairman Holland, for the chance to speak, and to the members of the Senate Judiciary Committee for hearing public testimony today. My name is Evan Anderson, and I'm with the Alaska Center Education Fund, and I'd like to voice my opposition for Senate Bill 39. I'm grateful to Senator Schauer's staff for finally uploading this committee substitute to the bill to basis yesterday, so that I and others could actually take a look at and see what the changes are. I know it's been tough with a little bit of the back and forth in public testimony without everyone having the updated version of the bill. I'm also grateful to the senator's staff for uploading letters of opposition into basis as well, so that those are accessible to members of the public. It was several weeks delay that took. So disappointed in overall transparency there, but appreciate the effort that is going on there.
think we might have just lost you, Ms. Anderson. Can you hear me? I believe Mr. Anderson's might have had a cell phone fall through or something. Next up would be Chandra Caffroy. Chandra Caffroy, if you could hear me, please state your name, put yourself on the record, and begin your 2 minutes.
Hello, my name is Chandra Caffroy. I also represent, in addition to myself, Alaskans for Constitutional Rights. And we support this bill. I support this bill. Furthermore, we would support just going back to some good old paper ballots and in-person voting. We don't think that this bill goes far enough. Our vote is only as valuable as it can be protected. When you have illegal votes, out-of-state people being sent ballots, multiple ballots still on the voter rolls after they have moved, you know, 5 years later, people that are dead, et cetera, our votes lose their value and their power. And so we want, you know, the best thing for the people is for their vote to count. And that's really our best, that's our voice. And we lose our voice when there is fraud. And a lot of people are saying there's no evidence of it. There absolutely is. My information, along with hundreds of thousands of other people in Alaska, their information was stolen this last election cycle. That does not give us confidence in our election process, and certainly not in the lieutenant governor who is in charge of that, I believe, and how he handled that. So we would definitely like to see that improve. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Caffroy. Next up would be Kelly Nash. Kelly Nash, please state your name and put yourself on the record and begin your 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Kelly Nash. I'm from Fairbanks, Alaska. I have been voting since I was 18 years old. This last election, I have never seen so much fraud ever in my entire life. Not only the fact that my voter information got stolen and can be used however it wants to be used now. The fact that this is even such a huge discussion, that we want voter integrity for all voting to be fair, and that has become such an opposition for so many people, literally blows my mind. Absentee ballot, that's how you can vote. Why does someone have to pick up your ballot for you? If you have your state ID, you have proof of being a resident here. That way we don't have over 200,000 people voting than registered voters we have. We won't have over 200 people that are dead voting. I mean, there has to be an end to it. There is so much evidence of the election fraud that happened throughout the entire country. And the fact that no one thinks that it actually happened here, except for a huge majority of us, it blows my mind. We've got to take it back to paper ballots. You walk in. I mean, we have to get rid of all the extras out of it. It's all this that is really starting to deter people from wanting to vote, and it's really sad because we are at a pivotal point in life where things have to be done correctly. No more cheating, no more fraud. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right. So I have Gene Holt up, and I just want to let Evan Anderson know I see you're back online. So I'm going to catch Gene Holt, and then I'm going to rotate back to you and give you another minute or so to finish up your comments. But right now, Gene Holt, please state your name, put yourself on the record.
Yes. Hi. My name is Gene Holt, and I'm a concerned Alaska from Palmer, Alaska. I'm in support of any of these bills that support election integrity. SB 39 and SB 82, but addressing SB 39, I believe every legal vote should be counted. And as we are talking right now, Lieutenant Governor Myers is at the AMAC meeting in Palmer, and they just ain't with it. We need to beef up what the heck's been going on, and when concerned legislators 3 years ago approached this. Now all of our legislators need to commit to the integrity of our elections. I'm in support of anything to secure our elections and restore the process for all Alaskans. Thank you so much for the comment.
Thank you, Gene Holt. Back to Evan Anderson. Mr. Anderson, if you'd care to make a few more comments. We lost you about a minute in.
Thank you, Chairman Holland, for the chance to continue my testimony. I just wanted to mention that I believe that the blockchain technology, which is specifically mentioned in the legislation, I think there's three or four different vendor names there listed. I think that writing that kind of specificity into legislation, you know, that's a directive for the Division of Elections that they are required to follow. And so the attitude that I'm hearing from Senator Schauer in this committee is you know, that it's, these are all ideas and these are good suggestions. But if this legislation were to pass, that would require the Division of Elections to implement these costly solutions. So I just want to point that out. Another place in the bill where I think there's a little bit too much specificity, where maybe a broader take could be better, leaving the, you know, the staff to do their jobs, is where it names the Interstate Cross-Check Compact Program. That's a national program that has actually had 11 or 13 states drop from it in the last 3 years because of issues with fraud and with tech issues. And so I don't want to see us affiliate with the Interstate Compact Program. I think that our affiliation with ERIC is already a strong one, and I want to see that network continue to be strengthened. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Next up is Ruben McNeil. Ruben McNeil, please state your name, put yourself on the record, and begin your 2 minutes.
Yeah, hello. My name is Ruben McNeil. I'm calling from District 5 in Fairbanks, Alaska. I wanted to call in support of SB 39. I am in favor of anything that tightens up our election system. So election integrity bill I'm on board with, chain of custody, voter registration, signature verification, controlling this mail and balloting. It's all important. And I'm personally offended about the voter suppression label that has been put on this legislation. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's a sham. I think it's obvious what the media is trying to do with this voter suppression label. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't follow this stuff closely, but I'm very concerned about the 2020 election and the results that came from it. So I appreciate what the legislature, Senator Schauer, is trying to do with this. I expect my district reps and the senators in Fairbanks to jump all over this, use some common sense, and think like the rest of us do out here, watching what's going on. Nothing wrong with strengthening election integrity. If you can go to a grocery store, you can go to your bank, you can go to the liquor store, you can make it to a balloting place, and you can cast your vote. All legal votes should count. All illegal votes should not. And ensuring that is all that the little people out here are asking, fairness, sensibility. So I'll end my comments at that, and thank you for listening.
Thank you, Mr. McNeil. And next up is Christine Hutchinson. Christine Hutchinson, please state your name, put yourself on the record, and begin your 2 minutes.
My name is Christine Hutchinson. I am speaking for myself, and I'm on the Kenai Peninsula in House District 30. I follow what that gentleman said previously. I'm not sure where the voter suppression label came from, but I don't agree that it's in this bill. I like this bill because it gives some serious direction to having integrity and process of the handling of the ballots and the election to the department. I believe it will eliminate an opportunity for either the bureaucratic part of the government or otherwise to just opt out of certain things. This is one area nationwide we've been remiss in getting involved detail-wise and paying attention to what's happening with our ballots. I appreciate every part of this. Again, I don't know where the suppression thinking came from, but I do not believe it's accurate. We need to have an opportunity to know what's happening with these ballots from the beginning, whether your neighbor helps you sign it or delivers it for you. People, my concern is the general population does not fully understand how all these things work. And we need someone to get in there and look at it and create legislation that's going to pay attention to the details. And that's why I appreciate this bill. It may be a little excessive, but I don't know when. I mean, it's better that it be tight and it be in detailed rather than it be just vague, because we've done vague in our elections for too long, and it's time we tightened it up and have control over what's happening with our voting. I'm in favor of this bill. I support the passage of it because I'm working on the same thing or paying attention to the same thing here on the Kenai Peninsula. People have to understand that this is tight and it's followed through. No matter how difficult it may be, the option to vote is still there. Thank you very much for bringing the bill. Thank you for hearing the bill, actually getting into committee and getting it on its way. And thank you for taking my testimony today. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Ms. Hutchinson. Thank you for providing your testimony. That has exhausted our list. At this time, at 11:26, I'm going to close public testimony on SB 39 at this time. Public testimony is now closed on SB 39. Do I have any comments from the committee this Saturday morning? Seeing none, I just want to appreciate Nancy and Kelsey for giving up their Saturday morning and other committee staff that joined us this morning. We will now set SB 39 aside for further work. Is there any other business before the committee? Seeing none, our next meeting is Monday, May 10th at 1:30 p.m., and we are adjourned at 11:27 a.m. on Saturday morning.